episode 6 for January 5th, 2008.
Hi, I'm John.
I'm Johnny.
I'm Jerry.
And I'm Rich.
And
we'd rather be LARPing.
Apparently. Actually, we just finished LARPing, so we should change the name of the podcast to Just Finished LARPing.
Now we're tired.
And in pain.
And Dizilla's dead. Dizilla being Johnny's Apgard persona character, so.
One of the many.
He was publicly executed. By a crazy person.
Crazy person that is John. Douchebag. It was unnecessary.
It's a form of execution, like water. What is it? Water torch?
Water torture is not. It's a torture!
What was it, when they drip the water onto the forehead?
Chinese water torture.
Yeah, Chinese water.
It's a torture!
But it's. According to George Bush, it doesn't count as cruel and unusual punishment because it's just water.
Really?
Yeah, that's what he was trying to argue I think it was the Supreme Court or something. Hey,
weird.
Anywho, moving right along, we got some updates, I think. One of the first updates is we have more definites as far as IKP, which is the Inter-Kingdom Picnic. And this time Johnny's going, because he missed out last time.
I know.
Well, last time it was Crew, which is the HFS-CRW.
Yes. This time my presence will be known.
I'm not dead.
We left early.
Yeah. We just left early because things got really shitty.
Yeah. I was just pissed because I found out I could go after they already left. So I was like,
Brown. Well, what happened is they told Johnny, like, oh, you can't go, Johnny, and then...
You got shit to do. And then it's like, when the time comes, hey, Johnny, you don't have to do that shit no more. What?
Because yeah, we took care of it for you.
A little sad.
But anywho, let me see. Does anybody else have any news to bring up before I go to the first topic slash news related thing?
Nope.
Alright. Moving right along. Fourth edition, D&D. Everybody's talking about it, but now we know why. We just got the preview book, which is races and classes from D&D. It was $20, and normally I wouldn't spend $20 for just the making of D&D, but you know, given the shit that's in here, it actually made Johnny cry a little.
I almost creamed my pants twice.
I'm crying. I think one of the main
it's that hot.
One of the main additions that I liked that was really interesting is the fact that Tieflings or Tieflings, however you pronounce it, they're now a core race apparently in the new D&D 4th edition, and that's awesome.
They include like about what, 6 new classes you can choose from?
I think something like that.
And a new race.
Yeah. Johnny, what is the new race?
Which one are we talking about here?
We're talking about the new race that you loved.
Oh, that one, right?
Yeah.
We're talking about the Dragonborn.
Yes. Awesome. Now tell us, Johnny, why do you love the Dragonborn?
Because they're awesome.
Yeah, actually, after reading the flavor text, it was, I think Johnny loved it. I know, I was like, hey, you know what? I can think of a whole storyline that just revolves about Dragonblooded and Blizzardmen. That's so funny.
Because they have their similarities, but they are oh so different.
Oh yeah.
Oh so different.
Jerry, being an avid D&Der, I guess, or at least being familiar with the system.
Familiar, yes.
What do you think of the new 4th edition?
Definitely something to look forward to when it actually comes out in full.
Yeah.
The new races and the classes and the abilities.
Yeah, I think the most interesting thing that I read is there's not going to be fortitude save, reflex saves, or will saves, or basic attack bonuses.
Okay.
Basically, what you're going to have is you're going to have your level bonus. And you're going to roll your level bonus for all those things.
Oh, nice. Something they're really looking forward to, Sword Mage.
Yeah, the Sword
Mage. That's going to be awesome.
I don't know if that's going to be a core class, but even if it isn't, it's just something to look for.
And then I like what they put here when I had, like, with the question, the one specific question in this little,
preview book
to Races and Classes. It was like, one question was asked, why Dragonborn? The short answer, because they're cool. Seriously. And then they have the medium answer and the long answer, but due to their length, I refuse to read it.
Bravo.
Actually, you can read now.
Yes, I can read.
We got Johnny hooked on phonics, and now
yes.
We also got him hooked on something.
Yes.
But yeah, I think that's about it. That's our little D&D 4th edition rant. I can honestly say, this is the first time after looking at a preview for just a game that I'm actually excited about it.
Yes, so, two thumbs up.
Yay.
Normally, it's like, when Vampire the Requiem came out, I saw the little preview for it, and I wasn't impressed. Same thing with Changeling and everything, I just wasn't impressed. This is the first time a preview book's come out, and I'm actually like, oh, I want this game.
Don't get me wrong, later on he read the books and I actually liked them.
Yeah.
But like...
It's like, normally when I get those little preview books, they don't excite me. It's just like, oh, that's nice.
That's interesting. Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, this is like full out cream corn in the pants.
That's a very awkward vision.
Yeah, that's kind of scary.
Yeah. But anywho, bottom line is to kind of steer away from what people did before in the whole like switching from AD&D to 3rd edition or 3.5, where there was the whole no, we're not going to do that. Then the same thing happened again when we went from old WoW to new WoW. I think me and Johnny just decided, you know what? We're just going to hop on the bandwagon and ride it.
I don't want to say I'm a conformist, but I went with it.
But it's awesome. So, yeah. 4th edition D&D, when you come out, we shall have you.
Yes. Yeah. And we will make many, many role-playing game love with it.
Or Johnny will, and I'll watch.
Yeah, because I'll have that thing forever.
Yeah, I'm just going to play the game, so you do that.
You don't love it enough.
Gross.
You love it too much.
Maybe.
Anywho.
Oh, yeah.
It's okay. It's just the dedication.
Love marks. Anywho, I think that's it, unless anybody else wants to say anything about D&D 4th edition. Alright, that's it. This is kind of like the little topic within the intro, but it was worth it. So, alright, on to the next bit.
I've done it! This show is part of the Kobold Broadcast Network!
Bloody kobolds! This show is part of the Goblin Broadcast Network at gbncom.com.
And we're back!
Yes. And what is our first topic, Johnny?
Our first actual topic is backseat gaming.
Boo.
Yes. I'm sure this has happened to many people before, even though we probably didn't have a term for it. But now we do. Jerry, since you came up with this topic, go ahead and give us your, I guess, definition or example of backseat gaming.
Let's see. The best way to put it would be using backseat driving as a good example. You're driving, you have someone else next to you in the car as a passenger, and they're telling you how to drive. Mm-hmm. It's kind of the same thing with backseat gaming is. You're running your game, you have all your rules set up, you have something come up in the game, you have to make a decision, and another player tells you, this is what I would do, but you don't have to do it.
But that's just me.
Yes, because that's just me.
I'm not saying it's the best decision, it's just in my eyes, it looks awesome.
Yes. So you should do it too. That's backseat gaming. Yes, it's highly frowned upon.
Yeah. Alright, well, that's it for this topic. No, seriously, I think we got some examples of this. Johnny, I think this happened to you recently on Thursday with your Aberrant game.
No, I didn't do the Aberrant game this Thursday.
Oh, yeah, that's
the other
right,
Thursday.
You didn't do Aberrant. It was your week.
Actually, no, I got a good example.
Okay, go for it.
I was doing the Aberrant game, and I believe it was a... Well, the thing is, I'm not that... Well, scheduled with the military things that go on.
Yeah.
In basic training, so I was just gonna wing it and see and make up some random stuff with it. And then one of my players, who happens to have a lot of knowledge on it.
I wouldn't say he has a lot of it.
No, he says he has a lot of knowledge.
No, he has some.
Anyway.
Some is not a lot. This is some. This is a lot.
John,
he has some.
John, you can't use visuals in an audio.
He has some, and I'm leaning towards my knee. And he has a lot, and being 4 feet above my knee.
Okay, better. Okay, but point made.
Verbal visuals.
Verbal visuals work. Anyway, I tell him this. I'm telling the beginning of the scenario, and he runs with it. He basically jumps in, and he's like, "Don't mind me, man. But I'm just gonna. I would say that it would be like." And then he goes on for like what a good 4 to 5 minutes.
Yes, and then he takes
describing,
time.
I'm describing the entire scenario, and I'm like, you know what? I was so lazy, I let that happen. But you know what? It's kind of my fault because now I've allowed. Because now I've. It was basically like for a momentary second. It was like I basically took my hands off the wheel.
Let somebody else drive.
Yeah. Well, I slept for like 2 minutes. But now that I did that, I feel stupid because now I know I basically let the door open for anyone to basically any time that I want to take a quick nap, someone else can easily just grab that wheel and they'll think it's okay. Because remember, I want to go to Albuquerque and they all want to go to Vancouver. So fuck them.
I think more accurately what you're saying is as an ST, you know, you want your characters to be involved in it, but you don't want them to take over the story.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But see, the thing is, it wasn't even his part of the story. It wasn't focused on his character.
Really?
No. Yeah.
Well, typically I find that happens, especially like if the person, like, if they're not doing anything, they try to like butt into the scene. Even if they're not directly doing something, they still try to milk it.
Yeah, because they're technically still doing something.
But yeah. Alright, Jerry, do you have an example of this? Probably not the same one.
Well, okay, a good victim of backseat gaming would be beginner STs. All like right. when they first start their game or going whatever, usually people who have supposedly a lot more experience tend to try to help you in the middle of the game, and which actually happened to me when I was running my game. I was like starting it on, and then like a couple of questions came up about certain actions or whatnot, so they jump in. I was like, oh well, you need this feat, or like you can't do this like this. No, it's rules say like this. So like they try and tell you like what they would do, and that's what you should do. And I was like, not your game, it's my game.
Yeah,
my car.
It's not even rules for it. It's just like, it's like, let's say, we'll take, Johnny, you're a wrestler, right?
I do some stuff.
Yeah, he's an amateur wrestler. I think he's gay. Okay, but it's like, okay. Johnny does a lot.
Or a lot.
Wrestling. Some or a lot.
Put your hands away.
Or is it
okay, is it near your knee or 4 feet above your knee?
You know what, I'm just going to stick my knee up your ass.
That's not going to solve it.
It'll make me feel better.
Moving along. Johnny knows a lot about wrestling. So as such, if I was going to run, you know, God forbid, a wrestling game.
It can be done.
It's
called the XWF. Averin has a special book just for it.
There's a wrestling thing for All Flesh Must Be Eaten. It's called the Zombie World Federation or something.
Really?
Where you're wrestlers that you fight against zombies, but they're like wrestling zombies. And if you lose, then the zombies eat you or something.
That's awesome.
But anyway, the point is, God forbid I should run a wrestling game.
Don't forbid that.
Honestly, I don't know that much about wrestling because I don't care about wrestling. But as such, I would tell Johnny, you know, I don't know what I'm doing as far as this, so you're going to have to give me a little leeway as far as law.
Then I would explain the whole thing about faces and heels, body slams and headlocks, typical storyline plots that are usually done within wrestling, if you wanted to go that way.
I'm going to eat your brains!
It's a soap opera, Johnny.
It is.
Yeah.
And that's why I love it.
It's a male soap opera. That's true.
It's acceptable, and I'm okay.
But anywho,
I'm not less of a man for watching it.
You're less of a man for doing it. Johnny just ripped my arm off.
Because he's gonna eat it.
What?
Because you're a zombie wrestler, remember?
Yes!
Anywho. Yeah. Moving along. You see, that's kind of the opposite of reverse backseat gaming, which, like, rather than the person butting in, you actually ask, like, hey, I don't know where to take this exit. Can you help me out?
Yeah. Backseat gaming goes a lot, goes very well with the marriage to canon.
Yeah, which we talked about last episode.
In case you don't know, marriage to canon is when we basically talk about people who basically
love the meta plot so much they can't break away from it.
Exactly.
Hence the reason why backseat gaming exists.
Well, not necessarily, because, I mean, there's a lot of people, like, let's say if I was a doctor, right? And let's say you say, well, I'm going to do surgery. I'm like, okay. And you're like, you know, I get the scalpel and I cut open his head. I'm like, you're doing heart surgery. You know, that it's just something, you know, I can't ignore. So, yeah. But anywho, yeah, that's just, like, kind of one of those things that you really can't go around. I mean, it's like, if you're doing it completely ass backwards, then, you know, I have to say that would be a time when I don't mind backseat gaming, but
that's not really backseat gaming if you're trying to, like, fix something in it. Backseat gaming is just, like, well, more like when you're trying to...
One time I've actually had people get into a verbal argument, and the tabletop gaming was broken, because we were playing the old mage, and we were trying to explain the concept of paradox to somebody, which paradox basically is mages can do all this badass magic stuff, but they have to make it look like a coincidence. Otherwise, reality will basically bitch slap.
That's the best way of saying it.
Yeah. Now, the person was used to playing the vampire games and the werewolf games. They're like, well, this doesn't make any sense, you know. How come, you know, mages have to worry about this, but, you know, a vampire can, you know, go, you know what, fuck the masquerade. I have bullets of five, I break open the tank, or whatever.
Because people believe in vampires.
Yeah.
Whether they're just in movies or they really do believe in them because of people.
Yeah, actually, we had to explain that to him. We said, like, look, it's like vampires have their place in reality because people accept them. Even if it's subconsciously, they accept them as monsters. The same thing with werewolves. Now, as far as mages go, you know, you're literally toying with reality. It's like, if reality... If magic or all the supernatural stuff is like dewdrops on a spider web, and it's like whenever you do something supernatural, the dewdrops move a little, that's fine. What a mage does is basically pick up a rock and throw a rock right through that spider web in order to do his magic. Well, anywho, the person couldn't understand this concept, and as such, it was drunken, in fact. He was the one who was trying to explain, and he got so frustrated at this because we were trying to explain to this guy who we'll call. Fro-Fro. Yeah.
You can give a lot of names to people, but Fro-Fro. Sounds like a
it's
pet.
Incognitus.
That's true, Fro-Fro.
Anywho.
Go on.
Anywho, this Fro-Fro guy got really angry because he was like, dude, you shouldn't tell me how to play my character. I know I don't understand how Paradox works, but basically what you're doing is telling me I'm playing my character wrong. And because of that one little statement, Drunken completely lost it, and he punched the table, and all our dice went everywhere, and I was like, oh, I don't want to be here. Like, literally, he punched the table so hard that he broke the table in half.
Oh, shit.
Now, keep in mind, it was one of those little plastic lawn table tables, but still.
But still.
Not to mention, it's just rude.
Well, no, but I mean, what I mean is, in a way, it's like, let's say, Jerry, you've never played Mage before, right?
No.
Okay, so let's say you're saying, well, you know, I want to make it so I turn my blood into bees and I cut myself open and bees attack me and bees or whatever, right? I would say, you can do that, but, you know, it would give you paradox. And you would say, well, John, you know, fuck you, it's what I want to do and this is what my character would do, whatever. And I would say, but you're going to get paradox for it.
So, like, a warning, like, you can do it. It's just like, dude, you're gonna pay for it.
Yeah, well, that's basically what happened, and... That Fro-Fro guy couldn't
take it, accept it.
I don't want to say take it. It's he got offended by it, but not majorly offended.
I'm offended by the fact that I can't do this for free.
it's like if I would just say, like, dude, it's my character, let me make my own mistake. And this drunken guy is the one who completely took it out of context and so forth.
Yeah.
So sometimes backseat gaming can be sometimes it's a good thing, sometimes it's a bad thing.
Yeah.
But again, it doesn't simply happen with GMs. It can also happen between players.
Yeah.
That's true.
A good example, well, the best example I can think of now is something that happened in one of our good old-fashioned Avgarden nights.
Mm-hmm.
In which there was two people. There was two people in a group of four, specifically. One we call Oreo.
Oreo.
Oreo, we miss you, by the way.
If you're listening to this,
come back home.
Your mother misses you, and your father wishes you were dead. Anywho.
That was only a...
not really.
And the other one is a well-known nickname in this podcast that sometimes gets blurted out by real name, John. worthy of cheating.
Oh, no! What do we do, Johnny?
Anyway, what happens is that they were meant to go find something, and basically John did his little tribute to Monty Python for this scene.
Yeah, they had to go through a valley of like, just a bunch of dead skeletons. The dead skeletons rose up, and they said, "Stop! What is your name? What is your quest? What is your favorite color?"
Yeah.
And so forth. Until finally, when it was the last person, it's like,
who happened to be Oreo?
Which is, what is the airspeed of an unbelieving swallow? And he was like, what?
And then that's when we attacked.
I was like, what isn't an answer?
And then, when Will heard about it, not from Oreo, or from anyone... or from anyone else that was supposed to have been able to hear it.
Yeah.
He automatically gave him the answer. Not realizing that basically not only backseat gaming, but metagaming too.
Backseat metagaming. Ooh.
The worst of both.
The worst kind of backseating.
A metagaming backseating.
It's like sitting in your lap.
You mind if I drive the car?
But you're a man!
especially with Worthy of Cheating's big.
No!
My arm, it's broken again.
I find it funny how people all of a sudden just hear, "Ooh, no!" And have no idea what you're doing.
Basically, me and Johnny pounded. We pound fists, and when we pound fists, he twists my arm and was completely around.
And when we mean fists, we really do mean hands. Hands with five fingers on them. Hopefully.
People now think you two are gay.
Well, you know what? We're getting off topic. Anywho, do you guys have anything else to add for backseat gaming at all?
Backseat.
Don't do it. Unless it's helpful.
Or, I would say don't do it unless the GM or whoever's in the scene
asks.
Yeah. Or at the very least, like, let's say, we'll take the military thing, for example. Like, let's say Johnny's completely butchering it. I would do the courteous thing and say, like, when there's a break in the game, like, pull Johnny off to the side and talk to a vet.
Yeah.
I'd be like, dude, that's in realism, that's not the way it's supposed to happen.
So yeah.
Like, well, like your input, I think.
Well, the fuck are you talking about? Anywho, I think that's pretty much it.
Call me courteous, John.
but anywho, I think that's it. So
yeah,
let's get to it for the next segment.
Hi, I'm Ryan Macklin. Quit it, you. And that's my partner, Ken Cheering. Together, we do a podcast called Master Plan. And I said, quit it. Master Plan is a podcast about game design. My guests and I talk about everything from noodling out an idea, fiddling with mechanics, doing playtesting, sitting down to write, and even doing that whole publishing thing that the kids are crazy about these days. If you're interested in hearing about game design, watch it. Or listen to your favorite game designers talk about what they love to do. One more time. Check us out at masterplan.libsyn.com. That's it. We're going back in the cage.
Oh, are we on? Oh, okay. And we're back.
Yes. And Johnny, what is our next topic since you already been reading?
Remember, sound them out.
Shut up. Our next subject is actually...
Shut up.
I'm trying to get to the subject.
All right. Next topic.
Okay, the next subject is more...
Topic.
Whatever, man. It's a personal topic. for us. It's the games we loved, and, but died.
The games that we loved, but died. But more importantly, why?
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 Okay, I guess you're starting the first one.
No, I'm going to let you do it first, because I'm pretty sure you're going to do one that I loved, that died, and then I'll kind of branch off that one, so go ahead.
Alright, I'll start off on the Mage LARP.
Oh, really? I wasn't expecting that one.
Why? Because officially, because I was a player character in that one, John.
Yeah.
It was the initial LARP that was both old WoD and then got jumped into new WoD.
Yeah. We actually did a storyline where some members of the Order of Hermes were working on a pocket reality that kind of branched out too far and became this parallel dimension, which was a new WoD. So in a weird sort of way, we kind of took the old characters and reimagined them in the new world.
Yeah,
which a lot of people really dug, and then a lot of people, rather than hearing the full explanation for it, they just got bitchy. But anywho, keep going, Johnny. Just thought I'd throw that out.
Because I love the LARP, basically, because I basically love the storyline behind it and the character I made to go with it. Because my character was a really offbeat character. Not one that would have easily been fitted into everyone else.
Especially with the new WoD.
Yeah. Because my character was in the old WoD, was a Cultist of Ecstasy member called Jimmy Bongwater.
Jimmy.
Yes, he basically used hallucinogens to basically awaken his inner abilities.
Magic with a K.
With a K.
Because of that, he always failed to urine test.
Actually, I think he had life, so he could purify his urine or something.
No,
somebody else had life. I think they'd do it for him.
Yeah.
Anywho.
It was basically blood sugar sex magic. Thank you, Red Hot Chili Peppers. Anyway. And, like, he had a wonderful story. He was, like, he was basically the second in command to another Ecstasy member who just happened to...
To time travel.
Not only time travel, but he had the unfortunate curse to always be financially secure.
Yeah. And that character was Jeremiah Silver.
Yes.
Which is okay.
His name is not me.
No. Yeah. It was just coincidence. I meant Jerry Atkins. But anywho, his basically bane was the fact that he had too much money. And in order to ascend to the next level of being a mage, he had to get rid of all of his money. But the thing is, entropy had cursed him. So his sort of paradox flaw was he always had cash. It's like he would go out and like bet $1 million on like the opposite like football team and lose. And then he would say, yes, I finally got rid of all the money. So he'd check his bank account or he'd call the bank and it's like, oh, we just noticed you had a bank error. Here's another $10 million. We're sorry for the inconvenience. You know, so just shit like that.
Yeah.
Drove him nuts because he couldn't ascend.
Well, eventually what happens...
It's awesome, but if you think about it, it's like somebody telling you, you can live forever, the only thing is you have to get rid of all your money. You're like, no problem, why do I keep getting money? No.
So basically what happens is that through incidents, I accidentally betray him, and I feel so bad, but then the same people turn me into a technocrat.
Yeah.
Which are the opposite of the traditionalists in the old mage game.
Yeah.
Which basically means I switch sides. But I only switched sides for, like, two games.
For two sessions, yeah.
Yeah, because then the mage just found out there's some snitch within the technocracy.
We'll call him William Cheat.
Yes.
Actually, it wasn't him, but...
Yeah, it wasn't him, but we'll say it was him. Because we just want to add more flack to him.
fun to flack
him. And then, like, a head archmage basically took me back to his sanctum and did this whole routine to just... Bring me back to the good side.
Johnny, just, I meant what it was.
It was a scene with,
the character actually wouldn't have mind. He was officially bi, but no one ever asked.
He was officially tri.
No, but like, after that, the thing is, the process didn't grow that well, so we had a 50-50 mind.
Yeah, so it's like, on certain days he would feel technocratic, on other days he would feel traditionalist.
A lot like his sexual preference. Some days he wanted the females, sometimes he wanted the male.
Sometimes he don't.
But anyway, what happens is that eventually he started mixing, he officially started mixing them together.
Yeah, making his own sort of paradigm.
Yeah.
Which he almost became a marauder for that.
Yeah.
Like, anywho.
Like, he's basically taking both sides and amalgamming them into a working mage abilities. And then what happened is that at the last minute, the world got flooded.
Well, just that city, but yeah.
And Anafandus took advantage and basically turned him.
Yeah. Basically, Anafandus said, you know what? You've been dicked around a lot. You know, why not just kill them all? And then, completely out of the blue, I say out of the blue because I was ST in this scene, Johnny said, you know what? You're right. And I was like, what?
Yeah, my character basically abandoned his old views and thought of new views, which include killing everybody.
Because they weren't worth saving. Yeah. They didn't know what it was like to have a good time.
So basically, when he ended up in the new Wad world, he had no abilities, but then later on gained new ones, which included death roots and
yeah. And actually, he became a member of the Celesti because since he already had abyss taint on him because he was an Aphandus in the old Wad. When he crossed over into the new Wad, it's like they sort of tracked him out like he was a beacon.
He even started creating things he called tunes, but yeah. In technicality were Pandorians.
Yeah. If anybody's read Promethean, basically what he would do is he would take all this ectoplasm from somebody and, like, make a tune out of them.
Yes.
But then after we read Promethean, we're like, well, you know, Johnny, technically these would be, you know, Pandorians.
And I went with it, because I thought it was awesome to have an army of Pandorians under my wake. I had about 12 of them, actually.
Yeah, before the game.
Yeah. And my goal, when it came to that, was to make an A through C Pandorian army.
Yeah.
Where, like, one was named Abel, one was named Barbie, one was named Candy, one was all these random names.
I just remember you got to Gamblor.
Gamblor! Gamblor was basically my attempt at making a Goro version of a Pandorian.
Yeah, but he kind of got fucked up in the process, and he was a little stupider.
Yeah.
But a lot stronger.
Yeah. But he was like my only 9 foot tall Pandorian, and everything. Everyone else was like little midgets.
So basically, you could point and grunt, and he'd go hit it.
Yeah. No, not even. He was like, do you remember Ninja Turtles 2, the Secret of the Ooze?
Yeah.
How they made Toka and Razor, and how they were stronger, but they were stupid.
Yeah.
That's how he was. Like, ow!
Except he had four arms. Like,
mama!
Did they hug you a lot?
Actually, no. Actually, I kept them in a special attic that was being transformed into a fighting pit.
Which, it was also a sanctum, I think.
Well, all of it was a sanctum.
Yeah.
But that specific spot was going to be turned into a mage fighting pit.
Yeah.
And I was going to bring them out later as special challengers to make money, you know? Because I was actually pretty broke.
Yeah. Actually, Johnny was loaded in the old game. And then when he crossed over to the new game, all of a sudden, you know, he was shit broke.
Yeah.
So wait, he didn't have his friend with all the money.
Well, actually, the reason why he wasn't there is because he time traveled.
Yeah.
But anywho, moving along. Johnny, why do you feel that game died?
I think that game died because people were just too ignorant to give it a chance.
Yeah.
Because it was a switch between systems, and at that time, people were really questioning the systems. It's like, man, like, maybe just basically the viewpoints altogether. Because Old Wad basically had, like, all these different versions, and had really a lot of diversity. But in the new Wad, it didn't have that much diversity, but it had a lot more leeway.
Yeah.
And people couldn't understand why.
I'd like to think that Old Wad is a stereotypical game where it's like, hey, you know what, you want to play an assassin, play an Asimite. You want to play somebody who's good with animals, play a gang role. You know,
yeah.
You want to play a crazy person, play a Malgavian. But in the new system, it's like, you make a person first and foremost, and then you apply your template to it. Like, okay, you know, I'm this guy who's a bookstore owner. But since I'm applying this vampire template, he's a member of the Circle of the Crone because they do a lot of occult research or something like that. And I don't know. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I kind of butted into it. Go ahead.
It's all right. That's right. It made sense. But people didn't get it. People didn't understand the changes and didn't want to.
Yeah.
There's specifically like one or two people who actually refused to go out because we had changed the system.
And That was sad.
I know. I mean, like, other reasons it died was all personal shit that was out of the game altogether.
Yeah.
Well, basically, we had it as a big LARP at one point. We had, like, over, what, 20-something people?
Actually, at one point, we had 35 people for that one night.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, like, started dwindling down, and then people's personal shit got in the thing, and everyone started separating into the he did it, she did it groups.
The he said, she said bullshit.
Yeah. And then afterwards, like, once people chose sides, we lost a lot of players. And then from the group left over, some of those players started getting ignorant about the new system.
I wouldn't say ignorant so much as they don't want to learn the new system.
Yeah.
They felt, you know what, I learned all this old system, I don't feel like learning a new one. See, the only thing that kind of upsets me about that is there was this one person there who was really into the occult and tarot and fate and stuff like that. And he was the one that was always told me, you know, life goes on and you have to change and all this other stuff. And actually, you know him, they call him J-Dog.
Him?
Yeah. He was the one I was most disappointed with because he was like, you know what, you're changing to a new system and I'm not going to follow you because of blah. And I was like, dude, you know what, you're always telling me, you know, you have to change in order to live your lives and you're not letting yourself change, blah. So that's what kind of upset me about that. But anyway, sorry, this is your bit, Johnny, keep going.
Yeah, anyway. Yeah, but I think people just didn't give it they didn't give it a chance, and it basically dwindled down to the point where there was only a few of us left, and we had to tabletop it for a while, because we just weren't enough people to go through with it.
Again, everybody still wanted to continue the story.
I know. And I was having so much fun with that character, too.
Yeah.
Because now, it was the first time in a LARP I was actually a bad guy.
Because Johnny had never played a bad guy.
Because I believe the only other LARP I did at that time was basically where I was... Or I was an anti-hero, kind of. Only because I didn't want to be the hero, but I became...
You were kind of forced into it.
Yeah. It's like, hey, you have a destiny. You gotta do it. Fuck.
Like, god damn, put it on my bill.
You know what? I fucked this.
Couldn't I just leave? No. You gotta stay and save the city.
There is some Ravenloft will draw you closer. But we're playing Vampire.
There is some Ravenloft.
But anywho. Alright, Jerry, do you have one?
I haven't played long enough to have one.
No, I'm sure you had a game that you played and you liked it, but it died for some reason.
Yeah, mine, but I've talked about that enough.
Alright, you sure you don't want to put your 2 cents in on it? Nope, alright.
I'm good.
The next one, or mine, was going to have to be the Exalted game. Specifically, the Exalted LARP.
Exalted LARP.
I'd like to say we've done something that's never been done, which is have an actually full-functioning and working Exalted LARP. And contrary to people's bickering, people that didn't show up to the game, we were able to pull it off rather smoothly.
Yeah. It was just a shame that we never got to continue it.
Yeah. Quite literally, this is a one-shot Exalted LARP that I plan to be long. I mean, honestly, I had, like, I can easily say a book of all the storyline I wanted to have for this Exalted game. I had movements of the Abyssal Army, the Fire-Blooded Army, you know, the Sidrials, the Fearfolk, the Onchothians.
Onchothians?
The alchemical ones, the robotic.
Oh, okay.
The robotic Exalted. And it's like they were all taking this part in this whole thing, and basically where we were playing, we had a university campus. And we were making that the city of Great Forks. It was Great Forks, right?
Yeah.
And it was so big, the campus, that it was actually pretty close to the actual size of how Great Forks was supposed to be. And,
I remember that. I purposely made a character for your storyline.
Yeah. Which I think your character was, he was a fire-blooded, terrestrial fire-blooded exalt. But, I think, like, his father was a fire-blooded, but something about his mother, he mated with a woman who wasn't of royal blood or something, so you were kind of like the bastard child.
Yeah, and then, like, I killed somebody during training.
Yeah, and it was kind of like, you were the, I don't want to say the dragon-blooded to get revenge on the dragon-blooded, but...
No, that's not what I was at all.
That's where I saw your character go.
Yeah, like, my character was basically the guy who wanted to move on, knowing he could never go back.
Really?
Yeah, because he had already been exiled socially. But, like, after the whole scenario where he accidentally killed an actual fire-blooded royal.
Yeah.
While he was in training with them, because he technically was still fire-blooded, so.
Yeah.
He was allowed to be in the school. But the fact that he killed someone off, I thought technically made him an outcast, like, as an overall. Like, yeah. Physically, socially, and mentally, everyone had to think of him as an outcast. That's why he changed his name and went to a city where many different types lived.
Which is great for us.
Yeah, so he could live his life, but he chose to be a bounty hunter. He also had a dog named Carnage, which was later taken on by a psychopath.
Yeah, but anywho, I really like that game, and I planned so much prep for that game. This is funny.
I remember the weirdest scenario I had in that game. Do you want
to see? No,
seriously. But, like, it was, like, one guy that actually came out for the game was a guy who had about 50 followers.
Yeah.
Because he was, like, he had one of those charismatic, exalted abilities.
No, not even. He just took the background followers at 5.
Really? I thought there was more to it.
Nope. He specifically wanted to play Immortal in an exalted game, and he had followers of 5, and he told me that he wanted everybody, or he wanted his followers to think that he was the chosen one or something of something.
So,
but ultimately, what it turned out is they had just read the stars wrong or something.
Yeah.
Anywho, keep going.
Well, what happens is that I bump into the guy, and this guy's trying to get away from them. Because he's supposed to play an average Joe who just happens to have followers, but he doesn't want them because he's an average Joe. Eventually, yeah. Followers get boring or irritating or both.
Just like the hero of Kent, man they call
Jane. Anyway,
that's our Firefly tribute. Good night.
Anyway, so like at one point he gets a hangover because all his followers are buying him drinks.
Yeah.
So I'm the nice guy with the dog. And I'm like, hey, you know what? I'll help you get back to your place. Well, when I take him back to his place, his door's locked, and he can't find his key because he's drunk. So I kick down the door using my awesome fire-blooded abilities.
Strength.
Aww. And his followers see me, and they're like, he's trying to break into his house! Attack him! And so I knock out a few of them, and I'm like, I'm tired of fighting you all. You're too many.
It's too many and annoying.
You're too many and annoying. So I use some of my exalted points, and I jump over them all.
And you're out of there.
And I'm out of there. But it was just one of those weird situations where, like, I didn't think I was going to get into a fight today. But yeah. Apparently I am.
It was funny, though.
Yes.
I have to say I really miss that game. And actually, I'm probably going to use, if we play Exalted tomorrow, I'll probably use some of the storyline for that, because I still have it's literally right on the back burner.
Yes. We do tabletop the games, we don't get to LARP. It is our sin. It is our sin and our savior.
Yeah.
It is the only way to have our drugs without it killing us.
It's like, you know, you really want crack, but you can't get crack. So you settle for something.
Crunk.
Anywho, I think the reason why that game died is a lot of nihilism. Quite literally. People were telling me and Johnny, well, you guys can't run an Exalted LARP. It's impossible. Blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, well, dude, we're running it. You know, like, no, it's impossible. You guys don't understand. Blah, blah, blah.
And then some people said they were going to go, and then they didn't go.
Yeah.
Because they were still holding beef.
Yeah. Which I think is stupid.
Yeah. Because I thought by then we had, like, passed it all out, because this was, like, a few months after the Mage LARP had ended.
Yeah. Well, we just wanted to go on a raid, man.
We just wanted a game out there. And we thought that instead of, like, giving them something they were used to, try something new and exciting.
Well, to be fair, they were used to Exalted, and I knew that they loved Exalted, so.
They just couldn't see it as a live action, because I remember someone telling me, how are you going to do a thousand fists in the LARP? How are you going to pull that off?
That was drunken, wasn't it?
I think it was drunken, yeah.
You see, the funniest thing about that is he was always the one that was telling us, because he was telling you guys when you guys first started LARPing, like, you guys don't actually have to run and jump across a building. You just say your character's doing it. I'm thinking, wow, I'm a hypocrite. But, yeah, I think that the main problem with that is with a guy that we'll call Tom-Tom.
Tom-Tom?
Yeah. We talked about him last episode. We'll talk about him
again. Yeah, it was only mentioned briefly.
Basically, what happened is he was like, well, how can you do that? The Dragon Blooded are supposed to have the most exquisite silk, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, dude, it's called your imagination, you know? If you can't use your imagination, then you shouldn't be gaming.
It's like suddenly the props and the actual actions became really... What's the word I'm looking for?
Important?
Yeah.
Well, no, they became the main focus. It's like, well, you know, if you don't have a die clave, then you're not playing Exalted or something. So.
Yeah, it's like you need to be able to shift forms to play werewolf.
Yeah.
I want you to look like a guru when you shift to that form. I want you to look like a hobbit. Well, I am a hobbit. Well, then I want you to look like a lupus. If you don't look like a dog, then I don't want to play.
Yeah, basically that's what it boiled down to. It's just nihilism and people not wanting to give something a chance. Which, Johnny, you give me your honest opinion. Did you like that LARP?
I did like that LARP. I never got to go through with it because I was this close to catching a bounty, too.
Yeah. But anywho, I think that's it. We've pretty much rambled on enough about this topic. It wasn't this topic so much as this reminiscing.
Yeah.
Tear.
I mean, like, other games that I did like.
That died.
That didn't officially die, it's just that they came to a close. One of the games I liked was the old WoD vampire game. The first one I was in, actually. It's just that we ended it on a good note because we wanted to try something new.
Yeah. Well, that one ended because, honestly, I hate vampires. They're so overdone.
Yeah, but I never got to play a vampire in that game.
Which I'm glad, because I was like, you know what? Drunken wants to make you a salubri. Oh, I'm not cool with that. I'm going to make you a werewolf. That's exactly why I did it.
He was so hesitant on it, too. He was like, come on, drink it. Dude, you have a third eye.
I'm not drinking. Drink it, queer.
No, but that's like, my character was scared when I first found that out. He's like, hey, you have a third eye.
I'm leaving now.
I want to leave. Your dogs are big.
I would have liked to have played in that one. I was supposed to have played in that one, but when I went, like, no one was around.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
He didn't
really know me at that time.
No, but I know him long enough. I know you for 2 years before that, but we didn't really start gaming together until recently. But, I mean, like, you told me that you guys met, like, on a Wednesday or something like that. You told me exactly where, so I went.
On a Wednesday?
Not a Wednesday. It was just on a day.
Who the fuck told you on a Wednesday?
Saturday, I don't know. It was on one day, okay? One day of the week, you went.
It's
on
a hump day, LARP. Oh, guys.
All right. For our listeners, note, our LARPs are usually on Saturdays.
Always on Saturdays.
They're always on Saturdays.
Unless a special occasion came up.
Okay, it was a Saturday, and I went at the time you told me, at the place you did, and no one showed up.
It was a Wednesday.
It was a Wednesday. I just thought it was. It was the day you told me, which is probably Saturday, because you said all your lives are on Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
I went on that day. No one showed up, so...
And this was for the vampire game?
Yeah.
Wow. Feels a bit sad, but I don't remember ever hearing you about it. I never heard it from you about that.
Yeah.
I never told you about it. I was like, oh, well.
It's like, oh, well, I guess there's no games here.
I was more like...
And then you skip away into the sunset.
No, it was more like... Well, actually, the sun had already set, and it was more like, Johnny, you're learning, gonna plan on your death now.
Yeah, actually, the best thing that happened, or the best thing I liked about that vampire game, aside from the vampires, was the fact that we actually did it realistically, which is, if the sun was out, people couldn't play vampires, yet they had to wait for the sun to set before they could come
out. Yeah, so all the player characters,
Basically, everybody that was playing immortals and werewolves.
Or ghouls.
And ghouls.
Because ghouls could officially go out.
Yeah.
In the sunset.
They could go out and about and do stuff.
For their vampire lords who couldn't go.
Yeah. And then once, you know, once the sun set, you know, We actually had a time when we'd officially declare sunset so that we vampires could come out. Because some people that were playing vampires are like, well, I can't see the sun from where I am. Can I get up? We're like, no,
foolish dead.
Yeah.
Silly dead person. Sun is for humans.
But anywho, yeah. I would say the biggest thing is nihilism and people not wanting to change, even though we got off topic a lot.
No, I'm saying like that. I like that game, and it did. It officially ended because we were just ready for a change.
It ended because I wanted a change. Okay, originally when I did this vampire LARP, I said, you know what, let's do a mage LARP. And then the person who was in charge of the organization said, don't you think mage is too hard for new people? And I said, well, if we take the hardest game on the market and explain it to a bunch of newbies, if we go to play something simpler, they'll pick it up like that. And I snapped my fingers.
And really, most people did pick it up. Most people did pick up mage like that.
Yeah.
Johnny snapped his fingers.
Yeah, I did. And I'll do it again.
Woo! Anywho, I think we're getting
our tribute to the end.
That was off topic.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
All right. See you tuned for the next topic.
Hi there, friend. Welcome to the Dragon's Landing Inn. Come in from the cold and warm yourself by the fire.
Wow, thanks a lot. It's downright cold out there.
If you're looking for something to eat, we've got a feast of ideas and advice for tabletop RPG players over there.
Uh-huh.
And in the back room, we have interviews with gaming industry insiders.
Right.
And out here in the common room, we have lots of good hearty discussion about all kinds of RPGs and accessories. So, what can I get for you?
One podcast later.
Little mug of beer wouldn't do us any harm. No little mug of beer wouldn't do us any harm.
Visit the Dragon's Landing podcast at www.dragonslanding.com.
And we're back, apparently.
Yes.
And just so everybody knows, Rich pretty much died asleep.
Rich died today.
Yeah, Rich died because he was tired. So I woke him up. I told him to go home. Awesome.
That's what happens when you play in a suit of armor all day.
Yeah. But anywho.
It takes you out. It does.
Is the one I wanted to
do. Yeah, you did.
Anywho, moving along. Johnny, what is our next topic of discussion?
Observers and their place in a LARP.
I think this is one that should hit close to home. Because it's happened a lot. Especially recently.
Yes.
There comes a time in every observer's life where they have to realize, hey, you know what? I've been observing for a while. Maybe I should either participate or leave and stop bothering these people.
What to do?
Actually, okay. This is a true story. We had this one girl that was coming out to our Amgard chapter.
So she says.
And she was coming out as a color class and an observer. Keep in mind, if you're going to play in a color class, it's fine. But she wouldn't actually do anything as a color class.
Like, what color class did she say she chose?
A dog.
A dog.
A dark
color class is a dog.
As in, a four-legged, mangy, fur color.
No.
That's what you want.
No, officially a dog is not a color class. A dog
is a monster class.
No, a dog is familiar. It's a familiar.
So it's a monster class.
Yes, it's familiar.
Oh. Well, anywho.
Okay, that's just that's Amgard knowledge. And now you know.
Anywho.
Because knowledge is power.
she had accumulated like 30-something credits for being a color class, alright? And I sat down with her and I was like, you know, you have these 30 credits that are for just being a color class. If you want, I'll be nice, I'll let you transfer your 30 credits into a class. Just pick one. That'll automatically boost you to level 3. And she was like, no, I'm just going to watch.
Are you sure? Are you ever going to fight?
Nah. Well, it's the fact that she had enough experience to where she could play a character that actually had some
panache
to it. Yeah, like a little bit of like
life.
Yeah.
A little bit of a boost to it.
Yeah. And, you know, I offered to do that because at the time she was a friend, and at the time...
she wasn't a psycho bitch.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking. I was going to say, is this a certain psycho whore?
The same psycho whore that was pretending to be my dog and Exalted.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Notice how she likes playing the dog a lot.
Well, she thinks she's a werewolf, whatever. And she doesn't shave.
She doesn't. Anywho, getting off topic.
Unwantedly.
Getting off topic.
Getting.
The point is, I'd like to say that me and Johnny are all four observers at our LARP. Because let's face it, that's how you get new people, by having observers. And neither of the people aren't going to like it, or they're going to think it's weird, but give it a chance, like Johnny.
Yeah, like, I never actually got a chance to observe a LARP. I just went into it, not knowing what the hell I was getting myself into.
It's true.
Like, alright. I think originally I was there just to watch, to be honest.
Really? But you kind of got shanghaied into it?
Yeah, because they were like, come on, just check it out. Maybe you'll like it. By, like, Drunken and the Blue-Eyed Bandit.
I thought it was a blue-eyed Spaniard.
A blue-eyed Spaniard, that's right.
Yeah, a blue-eyed
bandit.
I like, what is he, a turtle?
No, so I believe
it was Tom-Tom, the blue-eyed Spaniard, and Drunken.
They're all trying to get you into it?
No, and, well, let's call him, Vegan.
Ah.
Vegan, back when he was playing. He was a good player, by the way.
Yeah.
Vegan. But,
kick him in the nuts, because he's not here. Oh.
Anyway. They all convinced me.
So, Viggy, if you're listening,
we love you.
Anywho.
Share your weed. Anyway,
Johnny said that, not me. I do not support and or condone the use of that stuff.
Hey,
assume I'm lying. Anyway. So they all talked me into going, and I was like, okay, I guess I'll just watch, see if it's cool or not. Just make sure I still got some street cred before I leave. you know, John, they don't see any of that.
It makes me feel good. It's like masturbating. They don't know I'm doing it, but I feel good.
No, John. The pulsating palm makes everyone know you do it. That's why one's bigger than the other. Anyway. What happened is I ended up getting there, and they basically just hand me a character sheet right off the bat, and I'm like,
what is this?
What am I supposed to do with this?
Homework already?
I didn't study.
So basically, I'm like, I bullshit it really quickly. I'm like, I'll take that. I'll do that. Is that cool?
Yeah.
That works.
Okay, whatever. So, like, I took it, and I was like, okay, I'll be a grave digger named Jacob Graves. Because, you know, that's awesome. And I'll come up with a story later. And I actually came up with a really good story with it.
On the fly.
A fly to start off, and then I just really elaborated on that later.
Yeah.
And from there on, I've just been a good player. But observers, most people do usually observe a game at least once to see if they get the feel for it.
Yeah.
And observers for one, even two games is okay.
I would say three, but that'd be a stretch.
I say two games because... like, basically, they're going to observe. I suggest they observe, basically, the game from two different perspectives.
Yeah.
Like, they see, like, they either follow a certain, like, they probably follow the GM on one day.
And, like, a player on another day, and then, I guess, another player from the other side, or I say other side.
Or at least a player that is knowledgeable as another side character.
Mm-hmm.
Or even, like, in a WoD type of game, you follow the GM, you follow Immortal, and then you follow Supernatural. So it works. Just to see how the game works. And then from there you decide whether you want to play, whether you don't want to play, and then just move on.
Yeah.
But I don't understand how people could just watch.
Continuously?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because...
Well, the only thing I can think of is... I mean, this game kind of out there, you know, is that's the kind of behavior society's promoting, though. I mean, if you look at all of our forms of entertainment, they're all passive. You have reading books, you have watching movies, watching television, listening to music. None of our entertainment is active anymore. It's all passive.
Yeah,
that's true.
Which is why I'm proud of Nickelodeon. Yeah, really? Okay, hear me out. Hear me out, because it did
sound... What is it? The Mayan Temple Adventure. Olmec. First, you must find the blue token.
Stop, really. No,
but there
really
will be guardians.
Shut up. You know what happened is that Nickelodeon actually stopped airing shit for like 8 hours and basically had a continuous message that said, "This is the day of play, so go outside and do something."
Nice.
That was all they did for 8 hours straight. It was just a black screen with the same white letters appearing over,
scrolling over and over.
Over again. It was basically the point where any Nickelodeon fan would be like, "Okay, I'm switching to Disney."
Cartoon Network?
Or Cartoon Network, depending on your case.
Yeah.
Wow. That's funny.
I thought it was a good idea, though. It's actually a good idea if, like, you can actually get people to go play outside when, like, they're in their ass, they're on their ass every day, then, like, go for it. I'd be proud of that. It's better than being an observer.
Well, you know what else will cause observers not to play? No imagination.
That's true.
Because the entertainment's so passive, it creates a more open area for non-imagination. So at the same time, they're like, okay.
Why don't we just start bashing on the media?
Well, it's not the media's fault. It's society.
It's the media.
I mean, okay, it's like, the way I look at it is, if I can't get out there and LARP, or if I can't get people together to role play, then maybe I'll watch a movie because somebody else is doing an adventure for me. But it's like, why play games at all is to get that rush, that thrill of, you know, you're in the thick of it. Even if I'm just GMing, it's like, okay, you know, I'm making these characters do this.
Oh yeah, GMing is fun.
Well, if you really want to think about it, GMing is like playing a game of chess with yourself. Because
like
you
masturbation. It accomplishes nothing and you feel great at the end of it.
No, I mean seriously, like
Horrible. I'm gonna, that's a thumbs down.
Boo.
Yeah. No, just poo.
No, just poo.
Anywho.
Go ahead. No, you gotta think up of a game plan. You gotta have like 100 moves advance, and then depending on what your players do, you gotta be able to change the path of your adjust your moves.
God, that sucked. This is so random.
Yeah, that was just terrible. And so it just forces you to think. I mean, an observer who sees that might be a crappy role player as a player itself, but they could actually probably be a pretty good GM.
Yeah.
But it's all about getting them in.
I mean, truth be told, I mean, there's a lot of people that I've known that started out as really crappy players, but then later, once they learned how to play, they picked up on it really fast. It's like, we'll talk about him, Damon.
Yeah.
He's supposed to be on this podcast, but seeing as how he's only 17, he has a curfew.
Yep.
But basically, it's like, when we got this guy Damon, we call him Demon because
he calls himself Demon.
Well, actually, the real reason why they call him Demon is because whenever you take a picture of him, his eyes always come out red. Every time.
Seriously.
Every time.
Because
he's Satan.
Well, you never really see a brown guy come out with red eyes.
Anywho, moving along.
You've obviously never been to college.
He's one of the people that, like, he's like Johnny in a way, and what I say by that is,
short.
He was basically a prodigy.
He's taller than me.
When I first met him,
he's as tall as you.
He didn't know what the hell was going on, but he picked up on it so quickly. And not just that, not just picking up on it so quickly, but he learned what to do and what not to do. And rather than, you know, bitching about it, he just said, okay, you know, that's how things are, I'm going to go with it. It's like his first character at the Amgard died because of assassination.
His fault.
And then later he made a Vengeance character, which is one of the big no-nos. It's like, you don't go like,
you don't create a character to purposely get revenge for your old character.
Yeah. Or more importantly, you don't make a character that's a brother of another character to avenge the death of your first character.
Or just anyone. He can't be your father, he can't be your best friend, he can't be your lover.
He can't be your cousin.
Can't be your cousin.
Actually, lover would be interesting. That might be a little diversion from it. Because that means your character would be gay.
Or a female.
Not if you're a female to begin with. Anywho. But moving along, it's like,
hey.
We had to sit down with him and we had to say, look, you know, you don't make a vengeance character. And he's like, well,
that's why we're
going to
kill you now. You don't make vengeance characters, whack.
And what we had to explain to him, we're like, well, you know, that's really cliche. You know, it's like, oh, how predictable.
I know.
You're dead. Nah.
It's like if they made Serenity now, It's like they basically made new Firefly episodes without Shepherd Book. But no, here comes Shepherd Book Jr.
Our Shepherd Nook.
Nook. Shepherd Nook, his half brother.
From Japan. A half brother in the sense that they're both shepherds.
Yeah, but like,
I got
it, would just be weird and unnecessary.
Yeah. But anywho, back to observers. The point is, observers are what help the LARP grow. Whether the person decides to participate in the LARP or not, I think it's kind of like, let's say, we had a couple of girls that came out, and they LARPed for a while, but more importantly, once they went out, they got, like, their boyfriend to come out, and then their boyfriend got their friend to come out, and all this other stuff, and it became this whole, it kind of escalated from there, which I liked, because it was like, hey, you know what, I'm not really 100% into this, but you might like it, and blah.
Yeah. It was basically one of those networking things, where, like, they convinced some people to see it and then other people to see it. I mean, like, not everyone who went to go see LARPs get into LARPs, and that's acceptable, because some people just aren't into it.
Yeah.
But, like, those who are, though, it's like,
cool.
Yay.
You don't judge you, that's God's job.
Yeah. It's not my fault he's going to smite you when you have a child.
It's not. Okay, if you don't LARP, your child will be deformed. That is the ruling of me.
That's terrible. So either LARP or have a deformed child. May your child not have a third ear. Play LARP. LARP.
Anywho.
Are you LARPing yet?
LARP. We're getting really off topic. Anywho, do you guys have anything else to add for this, or should I just go ahead and wrap it up?
One thing. A type of LARP like Vanguard is not all about player class players. Something that really makes the M-Guard flow would be also color class players.
Yeah.
So to any observers who don't really want to get into like the fighting or the main part of it, the story can really flow a lot better if you have those extras, those people on the sidelines who do like play the merchants or the cooks or the or the little sellers here and there who help the story go with it. It's a nice talk, John.
Damn right it is. It fits all the way on.
Anyways,
he's talking about his arm.
Yes, his arm.
What do you think I was? It's not like an emotion violently towards my crush. Anyway, like I was saying,
the observers can really help by playing those other characters that will help the other players actually get into the roles a lot more, because they don't just have each other interactive, they have other people interactive who are doing other things connected to the story, but not necessarily with them.
Like,
so,
a good example is a guy who recently, like, I think he was actually an observer for one day, but I think they automatically jumped a gun into it. And now he's also doubling as a color class, which is kind of interesting.
Who are you talking about?
Richard.
Oh, Richard, yeah.
Yeah, because he got pretty better from when he started.
Yeah.
But now he's also making potions to, like, sell on the side.
Yeah,
so whenever he's not fighting, he's basically
an alchemist. He's also playing a scribe, too, which is somebody that makes magic scrolls. Different from the scribe rank, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
I'll probably think of another name for it later. But for right now, I just told him, you know, you can play a scribe.
We'll call him a writer.
Actually, I was thinking, like, bookbinder or something.
Bookbinder?
Yeah. Well, the way I think about it is, like,
I imagine him, like, the spine of a book. No, a bookbinder.
No, it's like, he starts out basic with scribing scrolls first, then later on he can go, like, you know, like, a craft spell book, and then, like, at sixth level he can do, like, a craft grimoire, which is like a spell book. But if you use it to write your spells in it, you get, like, an extra 5 spell points to put wherever you want or something, because it's that powerful of a book or something. I don't know, something like that.
Yeah, right now he's just rolling scrolls.
Yeah.
Stealth works.
But like I said, this is all for color classes, and unlike other Apgar chapters, we actually try to have, what are they called? We actually have levels for some of our color classes, like the Alchemist and the Blacksmith and the Artificer.
The higher level, the better potions you can make, and that's an Alchemist.
Yeah.
As well, it's like Blacksmith and Weapon Making.
Yeah.
And so forth, so on.
It's just so this way, it's like people feel, what's the word? Like, even though they're just sitting there, they're accomplishing something by sitting there. Or at least that's the way I see it.
Off-topicness confirmed.
100%.
Yeah.
Observers? You get your shit together.
Observers? Go LARP.
Yeah. Either do it or don't do it.
Either shit or get off the pump.
It's basically when someone tells you to do drugs, you're not gonna say, I'll do it some other time. Either you do it now or you never do it.
Yeah.
Because other people could be smoking that shit.
You know, because, you know, chances are that one time that you say you're going to do it, you're going to miss something. And guess what? When you're talking to Johnny later, he's telling you about Jimmy Bongwater, you're going to go, damn, I should have played. That moment's gone.
Yeah.
You have to get that moment back.
Yeah.
And then Johnny will laugh at you.
Yeah.
And then he's going to turn back and walk away.
Well, where else am I going to go?
Because there could be only one.
That's the next parallel universe to kill the next Johnny. And the next one after that.
Talk about Highlander. I was thinking about the one.
Oh no, I was thinking Jet Li.
The one? Yeah.
Anywho.
There can be only one.
We got really off topic. The bottom line is, observers, if you're going to observe, do it. And then make a decision, preferably as soon as possible, whether you like it or you don't like it. Because it's fun. I think Johnny would agree.
Yes.
Jerry, do you have any 2 cents to add?
I think I put like 4 cents in already.
Yeah, but you still need change.
Oh.
You have to put in 10 before you can get 5 back.
Can I just put in 5 and call it even?
Okay.
Okay. Listen to what they said, observers.
Yeah.
Because they're not smart, but they know what to...
They sure do look for...
Well, I don't know about that. You know what? No to both of you.
No! Our arms are broken. Anywho.
He's gnawing on my pinky.
Zombie warrior.
Anywho, that's pretty much it for this section. So, yeah.
Good evening, Jeffrey. What glories are you perpetrating at your table lately?
Well, Judd, we are playing Burning Wheel at my table, and my players and I are having an absolutely wonderful time creating a game world together.
I'm so glad that Luke Crane's Burning Wheel is doing well for you.
And how are things at your table, Judd?
Jeffrey, I'm glad you asked, because me and my innovative friends are playing Dungeons & Dragons. However...
Oh, quite interesting. Do tell, do tell.
Rather than roll a d20 when combat presents itself, we are resolving combat through interpretive dance.
My goodness, that's brilliant.
Yes, when I take out my black leotard, the orcs quiver in fear.
You should go onto RPG.net and post about this. People will flock to our podcast.
No doubt, they will flock to... The Sons of Cryos.
Alright, that pretty much wraps up another episode of We'd Rather Be LARPing.
Oh, it's
under our belt, which we get to put another notch in, because we're on Ultra Slip.
We're trying to get into fat before this year's over.
Yeah.
We're
trying to get into fat?
Yeah. Have enough notches where basically you can be like, hey, John Goodman, I have this belt, I think it'll fit on you.
Then he'll say, hey, I don't know.
It does fit on me. I'm going to eat all this Thanksgiving dinner and I'll give my family a cent.
Evil man.
evil man. John Goodman, we love you.
Please don't hurt us.
At least hurt Jerry.
Hey!
Kiss ass.
Anywho.
You're the one who told them you loved him.
I know, but you weren't supposed to agree.
I didn't agree, so please don't hurt us.
Well,
technically it's great.
Go ahead and join us on the web at ratherbelarping.blogspot.com. Or email us at ratherbelarping@gmail.com. And we'll get back to you.
Just remember, if you have anything at all to ask us, any of us, whether it be John, me,
or one of our other hosts that
psychotic breaks work. Maybe even the apocalypse, whatever.
No. If we game for the apocalypse, we'll podcast through the apocalypse.
Because, what else are we going to do? Live through it?
Oh!
Well, we can LARP it.
Actually, there's a group that actually LARPed the apocalypse. Like, it was, because you know how the old WoW came out with, like, came out with, like, Gehenna and Ascension and, like, all this other, basically, end of the world for old WoW? Well, they basically LARPed the apocalypse.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know how it turned out. I think everybody died.
Oh, that's great.
But anywho, that's pretty much it. So, thanks for listening.